Let's stand together as we sing, "Lead Me to Calvary."
King of my life, I bow me now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy born from now, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget the stability, lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Now would you greet one another? And let's join together again.
May I be ready for to bear daily my cross for thee. Even the cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget the lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning. That's much better. Today is March the 28th. We're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. I know you're going to be blessed by the choir and cast today. We're asking you to join us here at Liberty Hill Baptist Church praying for the North American missions. Next Sunday is our last Sunday to give. Our Annie Armstrong Easter offering goal this year is $5,500. We've been able to achieve this in the past, and we're praying. We don't see any reason why we can't this year, amen, to do everything that we can for them. East to West, our youth emphasis will be going on tonight in worship at 6 o'clock p.m. We hope that you will come and join us and our young people, and we'll have a message from the book of Psalms tonight just to prepare your hearts for that. Easter happenings, Saturday, April the 3rd, 12 noon, will be a hot dog lunch and an Easter egg hunt. Our first annual Easter bonnet contest.
Keep your seat wherever she's at.
Well, last week I made that announcement, and she come put this thing on my head. It was something else. It was something to behold. The first annual Easter bonnet contest, Saturday, April the 3rd. Our Easter schedule is as follows. We're going to have a 7 o'clock a.m. sunrise service, followed by breakfast. It's going to be prepared by our Faith Riders Ministry. At 8:30 a.m. is early worship, 9:45 Sunday school, and at 11 o'clock is a late worship, and there will be no evening services that day. Saturday, April the 10th, we're going to have a cleanup day here at the church. Items will be discarded if they're not properly identified. We've got a big dumpster coming. We're going to clean up some of the storage space that we got, and all the helping hands are needed to organize that and to inventory the space. And we're asking that the deacons would check your mailboxes. The chairman of the deacons told me today that you've got some important information in your box, so make sure you check your mailbox before you leave today. How many of y'all got to come to the Valentine banquet last night? Wasn't that a wonderful job? How about a round of applause for these who did that? It was a very good event. And a lot of work went into that, and we appreciate all of it. And that Rendicella thing, I almost wished he would do that again. That was amazing to me. And at this time, I'm going to ask our pastor if you'll come and share a few words with us.
Thank you, Mike. And one of the first things I would like to recommend is on that cleanup day that that photograph go in the trash can. You know, it's funny because I found out that if I had stayed on the front row, Paula had already decided she was going to put that on Paul's head. And so I should have stayed, but I went. And also, it is good to see you on this Palm Sunday for the opportunity that we have for worship and for fellowship. And if this is your first time with us here at Liberty Hill, and I know we've got some folks that are visiting, that are here to visit with family, and we are honored to have you. And I want to ask you to do us a favor. And the seat back that's in front of you, there's a card that says guest. Find the card, fill it out, and when the offering comes, when the ushers come to receive the offering this morning, drop that in the offering plate so we can have a record of your time here with us and we can encourage you and get to know you better. We are very glad to have you worshiping with us here this morning. Now, I will tell you that usually when we have a Unity Sunday, I just go ahead and come to church at my regular time and today I didn't do that. I stayed home and I watched a little Creflo Dollar, and that depressed me. And so then I turned it over to the news and watched the news, and that depressed me and all. And so I was just pacing the floor and told Phyllis and Katie, I said, hurry up and get ready, let's go to church. But I felt weird not having my 8:30 service this morning. But we will have that next Sunday, including with our sunrise service, and our faith riders will be preparing breakfast. And so all faith riders, we're asking you to be here at bright and early, 6 a.m., to start the oven and to get the eggs broken and to get breakfast ready for us to share. But we will have, weather permitting, our sunrise service in the graveyard next Sunday morning. That's the best place to be because the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then the rest of us will be caught up. And so we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday, and I invite you to get up early and come and be a part of that celebration with us. But also, today is a day of celebration. We're looking forward to the presentation that the choir will have for us in just a little while. But we also want to have the opportunity to take the time to just simply spend time in prayer, thanking the Lord for His blessings, and also asking the Lord to prepare our hearts and to prepare our minds for the message that we will receive in music today, but also the opportunity that we have next week to get ready for Easter Sunday, for Resurrection Day. That day is extra special because of the victory that was won over death, hell, and the grave. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, if we're not living a victorious life, then we're mocking what God did for us through His Son Jesus on Easter Sunday. We need to stand up and we need to shout it out that Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our Sustainer. He is our strength. He is our fortress. He's everything that we want, everything that we need, and everything that we'll ever want will be found in His presence in your heart and in your life. And that's what I'm praying for, is that you will have the fullness and you'll have the sense of urgency to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people who need to know Him. Let's join our hearts in prayer together. Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege that we have to gather here this morning. Father, I know that it was a little strange to not be here earlier, but still, Father, we thank You for the ones that made the effort to come. And Father, I know that it was a little overcast, a little dreary. It's supposed to rain today. But Father, we still know that the sun is shining on the inside. And for that, Father, we rejoice and we thank You. Father, we do ask that You would watch over and bless our choir today. We pray, Father, that You would just simply inspire and encourage them and remind them, Father, this isn't a performance. What this is a presentation of the gospel message. And Father, I pray that every time we make a presentation that we give our very best. And Lord, I know that they'll do that today, but I pray that You would bless them in their efforts. Father, also, we ask that You would be with those that are serving on the North American mission field. Father, for those that are up in Canada, those that are down in Mexico, and those that are in the United States of America, which is a huge mission field, I pray, Father, that this season of prayer and this time of focus would remind them of how important they are. But Father, I also pray that we realize that You have put us in a mission field as well, whether it's at work or at school or even at home. Father, we have the opportunity on a daily basis to tell people about Christ. But Father, often we keep our mouth closed. And Father, I pray that we would be as passionate about Christ as we are about the Atlanta Braves, or that we are about the Final Four, or we are about the changes of weather and all the other things that we so readily talk about. Father, I pray we would get our priorities in order. I pray that we would start focusing on what is significant and what is important. And I pray, Father, that we would let the trivial go. Lord, I pray that you would continue to watch over and bless this church. I pray, Father, that we would be able to be salt and light in a community that so desperately needs it. Father, next Sunday there's going to be a lot of people that are going to roll out of bed and say, well, it's time to go to church because it's Easter. And Father, I pray that when they come that their life would be changed. I pray also, Father, that we would show what a life change looks like by our walk and by our talk. Guide us, bless us, and watch over us as we continue to have this time of praise and worship. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Mike did mention that although this is a little bit different than what we normally have at a worship time at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, it is nonetheless a time of worship. And with that in mind, there are going to be several times that we'll ask you to join with the choir in singing, but we'll let you remain seated while you join in singing with us. Just at the very end, we'll ask you to stand. So you keep that in mind as we present this in Christ alone. Right now, let's do stand together as we sing The Power of the Cross.
My name written in the blood. This wonderful, victorious day of Easter that we celebrate recognizes a plan that God foreordained and set in place from before the creation of the world. At just the right time, God himself stepped out of heaven and into our human history in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Beginning at the age of 30 and lasting for 3 years, Jesus carried out a very public ministry of teaching and healing. Everywhere he went, crowds gathered, longing to be near him. Never was this more evident on the week before his death, as he came riding into Jerusalem on a young donkey. Young and the old rushed to line the streets, waving palm branches and cheering, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Not only did the crowds draw close to Jesus during the final week, but those who knew him best also had opportunities to be near him once more. In the home of Simon the leper, as Jesus reclined at the table, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume, which she poured on his head to anoint his body. Gathered around another table on another night, the disciples, who had been through so much with their teacher, must have reflected on the power, protection, and provision they had experienced at the hand of their Messiah. Even as Jesus was being adored by those that hung on his every word, there were others in Jerusalem, in secret councils, behind closed doors, who had an entirely different response to him. The religious leaders of the day saw him as a threat to their power. They were on the lookout for an opportune moment to seize him, have him wrongly accused, and to put him to death. They found their chance one night in the solitude of a garden where Jesus had gone to pray.
Trials start with a burden.
At the moment of Christ's suffering on a hill outside of the city, the people of Jerusalem were gathering once more to observe the ordained Passover. Just as their parents, their grandparents, and generations for centuries before them had done, each family was bringing to the altar a lamb to be sacrificed as an offering to cover sin. At the very hour when worshipers were packing into the temple and thousands of lambs were being slaughtered, the final, once and for all sacrifice was occurring upon a cross a short distance away. Our Savior was doing what millions and millions of animal sacrifices through the ages could never do. The wrath of God was being fully poured out against all wrongdoing. The blood of our Savior was being poured out by God's design to not just cover sin, but to actually take it away.
Pay my penalty. while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we are sheep that have gone astray, and we need desperately a shepherd to guide us. Amen. But you know, we also need to remember that sin has left a stain that cannot be washed away by water. It has to be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, God sent His Son, and Jesus paid it all. He paid all the debt that you and I could enjoy not only life, but life eternal. If you have not yet established a relationship with the shepherd who loves you, we're going to give you that opportunity. But if you have a relationship, but yet you've strayed, or perhaps you've been stubborn, or maybe you've been mired in sin, maybe it's time to have a closer walk with that shepherd. Maybe it's time to listen for his voice and allow him to guide you. We're going to have an invitation time. I invite you to stand as the choir leads us in Jesus' name. Let's stand.
By the great plan of God, there is one name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Only one name, only one help, only one hope.
Thank you.
Crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ shines as the ultimate proof of our God's sovereignty. His perfect was perfectly fulfilled in spite of the most evil and despicable plans of sinners and even Satan himself. The worst deed that hell and human depravity could design, because of God's absolute authority, was used to bring about the greatest good of all time. And so our hearts rejoice. Hopes rise like the Sunday sun over Jerusalem that first Easter morning. We live our earthly days in the light of the dawn that revealed the power, majesty, wisdom, and grace of our risen Savior. He is alive. We have joy. His plan is accomplished. We have life in Christ alone.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
In the light of this day.
Let's sing together. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget, lest I forget my agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Thank you.